Thanks for joining us today, everyone. We're glad to have you with us as we continue this discussion. And we have with us today again in our class.
Hi, I'm Linda C., and I'm glad to be back.
Linda, what did you think about the article yesterday? Didn't it have a lot of difficult words in it?
Well, it had a lot of good words, good vocabulary words to learn. And one of them that we learned was vexing. So something that is vexing is troubling or upsetting, and that's something that Mark Zuckerberg faced in 2001 when the number of users was growing to a billion, and now it's close to 2 million, and the problems that he encountered with this growth.
Well, I think anybody that has a billion customers or something is going to have a little bit of problem, but we did have a lot of things that some of us had even not used these words very much, even the teachers, but I'm sure glad that we had Joshua here. He seemed to know all those words, didn't
yes.
he? Joshua, what about some of those words we learned yesterday, Josh?
We had a lot of really good words yesterday, and I think one of the interesting phrases that we used was when we talked about how much the stakes have grown for Facebook. So this concept of when you have a lot at stake, or you have stakes in something, you mean you are risking a lot. It could be reputation, it could be money. And it's true that Facebook has a lot at stake in all of the users and all of the users' content.
That's true. So yesterday on page 10, when we talked about Facebook, it does continue to grow even though it has problems. So if you were going to say a few things about what we learned yesterday, let's think about what we learned in very ordinary common words. What did we actually find out yesterday about Facebook and its problems? Can you tell me a few? Let's think a few things that we learned.
Well, one of the problems that they're facing is fake news. People using Facebook for propaganda, like to spread their propaganda or their opinions, which may, you know, an information that may not be true. So that's a big problem that Facebook has been trying to deal with.
Well, everybody has to deal with this fake news because it's hard to know what's fake because there's usually a little bit of truth in fake news. Isn't that true?
Right. The most convincing lies have a little bit of truth in them, or it's mixed, like the truth.
That reminds me of people spreading rumors. Too, they'll say something about it, and sometimes they'll say something, Doris said this, but I said a little bit that, but not the rest of it. And sometimes we get fake information coming from other people, that things we even say. Isn't that true?
Exactly. Or whatever that person said is twisted and or used in a different context, so it's used for somebody else's benefit.
Right. So Mark Zuckerberg's not the only one who has to handle that, but he has a big problem because there's so many people watching Facebook. Well, that's one thing that we kind of learned yesterday. Is there anything else that we talked about that might be new that we need to review?
Well, I thought it was very interesting when they talked about the echo chamber effect. So this effect that, so let's say, for example, you're someone who easily gets tricked into fake news. You're someone who easily gets grabbed by that little bit of truth that's been twisted in order to actually come out to something 100% against it or deceptive in some way. And because you follow those things, what it means is that on Facebook, you'll tend to see information that's only along the same line. So you only get this idea in your head that you've been tricked into reinforced because you never hear any other information. You never get any other side.
That's true. Yeah.
And because of that, it's a real problem. So people just reinforce their erroneous beliefs. And what do you do in order to, you know, stop that? And that's a big problem for Facebook.
Well, another thing that I thought was kind of a new idea to a lot of us is thinking about this clickbait. Because clickbait is not a word that I don't think I've heard it much before. Have you?
No.
It's kind of a new idea.
It is a new idea, but right. I think in marketing it's become very popular in the last year.
We have to try to do that, is to try to get people, we try to bait people in different ways. But when you say clickbait, then you think of clicking on something on your cell phone or your computer, you get people to click on this, and then when you click on it, then somebody knows how many clicks you've made, and they can put ads on there, because if you, let's say I click on dog food, then I'll get all these ads all through, about all the places that sell dog food, because I clicked on it. So they try to bait you to, when you click on something, it's kind of like getting you to do more on that subject. And that's kind of a new idea, isn't it? The clickbait, to tempt people by what they click on.
Right. And sometimes it's through deceptive means, which is troubling.
And also makes the echo chamber very troubling. So let's say you click on an ad that says, for example, that the president is a horrible person. And because you've clicked on an ad that says the president is a horrible person, all of a sudden you start getting all of these other ads saying that the president is a horrible person, even though there might be plenty of information out there that says the president actually isn't all that terrible. But you'll never see it because you don't click on those things.
That's right. So this clickbait thing can be pretty dangerous, can't
it?
Exactly. So that's what he's trying to fight, you know. And he didn't think he was doing anything like that, but everybody said yes. And so he says, okay, I'll have to do something about it. So today, on page 11, we're going to try to find out what Mark Zuckerberg did about it, because he is attempting or trying to squash or kill all of the violent content that he can. He doesn't want Facebook to be that way. He wants it to be where people meet each other and enjoy it. He's not trying to make it like that. So he's trying to do something to stop it, to squash it. Isn't that right?
Yes. So the squashing is it's pretty good image if you think of taking your hand and squishing something on the table, like with a lot of force to make it flat and kind
like
of
a mosquito.
Exactly. A squash or bug that you stop it in its tracks and stop it from doing anything else.
So he's trying to do that. And should we read about it then today in our lesson?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's take on page 11, let's take that first section about attempting to squash violent content.
Attempting to squash violent content. Zuckerberg was also compelled to take action over the rise of live-streamed violence on Facebook's popular video broadcasting platform. Earlier this year, he announced plans to hire 3,000 more moderators to screen content for disturbing material. The efforts to crack down on fake news and objectionable videos also come after Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, and YouTube agreed to share information to weed out terrorists and their content. That's being done even as Facebook and others are deflecting allegations that technology companies are complicit in terrorist attacks because the perpetrators use their platforms.
So he is trying anyway. Zuckerberg is trying, and he was also compelled, or he felt he just had to. When you're compelled to do something, you feel, I just have to do it.
Yeah, you're forced. Mm-hmm. He was forced to take action.
Right, you have to take action. And what was he forced to take action about?
The rise of live-streamed violence on Facebook.
Okay, this live-stream violence is really bad. You know, before we used to read the news, and it sounded kind of bad, but you didn't think about it. But whenever you see it, then it causes a very strong reaction in you, and you might become violent.
It's true, and I think here, I think this is another thing that Facebook did that they probably weren't really considering all of the consequences that could happen with all the people who are out there. So I think a lot of people are familiar with the Facebook live stream, which is you're on Facebook, and you activate the camera, and the camera just starts streaming whatever's around you. I've used that myself once. I was in a taxi cab that just happened to have couple microphones in it and a karaoke setup. So they allowed us to sing karaoke in the taxi, and it was the first time I'd ever live streamed anything on Facebook, just to show that we were in this crazy taxi cab singing songs going down the street.
Where did you do that?
I did that here in Taipei.
You did?
I did.
Oh my goodness, I never thought of that. Right? Have you ever heard of that?
No, nobody has,
and that's why I live streamed on Facebook, because
I didn't see that. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't see it on Facebook. Sorry.
So
did anybody see it that you know?
So it happened right after a wedding, Gateway's wedding. And so there were a lot of people that I knew that unfortunately were still at the wedding, so I don't think they saw it. But there were many people that I saw it that were my friends from the United States.
And they
so
did?
That was, yeah, so it was very early in the morning. I don't know what they're all doing up there. But they saw it, and it was a lot of fun. And that's kind of the
intention. And that was fun. It wasn't violence. But that could be if somebody's hitting somebody on the street and you take a picture of it and they show it. And
well, so that's the other thing, right, is that like instead of doing fun stuff, you can do all sorts of terrible stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. A lot of people do, you know, just live stream things. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of a problem. So what did he say he was going to do then to try to help so that they didn't have so much of that?
Well, he was planning to hire 3,000 more moderators.
3,000? That's a lot of people. I guess he's got a lot of money, though.
He does.
I think hiring two people, 3,000 people. So he's going to hire more people. And what are they going to do?
They are going to screen the content for disturbing material. So they're going to go through and make sure that they're try to prevent any offensive or violent.
Well, how would they do that? Like if something's happening and somebody's streaming it and somebody sees it, how can they screen that? Do you know?
Well, so we talk here about a moderator. So when I'm familiar, you can moderate a lot of different things, which kind of means that you sort of balance out or control a debate or talk or discussion so it doesn't get out of hand. So a moderator online will often warn people if they're putting up content that's not part of the rules, but also they will block people or they will stop people from being able to put things up. So,
well, they have to be on duty day and night, don't they?
They do have to be on duty day and night. I do remember hearing in the news that there was a terrible, terrible story of a person in Indonesia who ended up committing suicide. They broadcast it on Facebook.
Oh, my goodness.
But nobody went to help because nobody really picked up on it. And so the authorities didn't know about it. Facebook didn't know about it until the next day.
Oh, my
goodness. So I think they're trying to get moderators to be able to pick up on these sort of events to be able to do something about them quickly.
Wow, things happening all over the world is not going to be very easy.
Exactly.
No wonder he had to hire 3,000 people, right?
Yeah. Well, he has 2 billion users. So.
Oh, I know it. So his efforts then to crack down on things like this. When you crack down, you mean you just kind of do something about it, right? Stop it.
Right. So you deal with the bad behavior, illegal behavior, in a more serious way.
So how did he say he was going to do that then? It says they came after Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, YouTube, and everything. What did they agree to do then?
Well, they agreed to share information to weed out terrorists and their content.
So that means they can't have a lot of things about ISIS and the kind of things that they call terrorists. They're going to not put it on there. And so a whole group of the social media decided to do that together, which was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so if they have groups that are really causing problems, usually it's not just on one platform or one social media, that it tends to involve many different things. And so these organizations are agreeing to share information in order to really go after people that are using it, just not on Facebook, but also YouTube, Twitter, and other social media accounts.
So this big sentence that we have here starting in line 11 talks about this, because that's being done because they are trying to deflect, and that means to get rid of these things that are
right
made against
to turn
it.
Away from to try to avoid
right.
these allegations and these allegations or accusations of wrongdoing, but they're not proven yet.
Right, and they're trying to say that we are not helping that, to be complicit. They're complicit in that, so that's a good word to know too.
Right, so if you're complicit in something, you are involved in it, or you have
it has nothing to do with them, right? Yeah, because these people that are trying to do this, what do we call the people who are doing that?
Well, so here they're talking about being complicit in terrorist attacks because the perpetrators.
And who are the perpetrators then?
So this would be the people who do those terrorist attacks. So a perpetrator being someone who has committed a crime or the person who has done something terrible, right?
So there's some big words. This is a really advanced, high advanced article. But let's take the next section because it says there's more users, but that also gives stronger connections. Let's see what that says. Read out loud as we read. That will help you remember some of the words and make it clearer to you. So let's read the next paragraph.
More users, stronger connections. Viewed collectively, observers say the recent actions by Facebook show a company deep in soul-searching mode. They cite Zuckerberg's sweeping 5,600-word manifesto that argues Facebook can forge a global community by expanding the number of users connected on the platform through groups, like ones for parenting or neighborhoods. Building a global community that works for everyone starts with the millions of smaller communities and intimate social structures we turn to for our personal, emotional, and spiritual needs, Zuckerberg wrote. The hope is that those connections will spill over into the physical world to strengthen bonds between people, even if it means taking a break from Facebook. It's something of an antidote to the feeling of isolation, for which social media is so often blamed.
So this section then tells us that when you look at this, the all observers collectively, they said, well, it shows us, it shows everybody that Facebook is trying to have what we call a soul-searching mode. They're trying to find out how they can help solve the problems. They care. They're trying. And what did he do?
Right. So, when you do some soul searching, you do self-reflection. So you try to, find out or discover what, your meaning is. Maybe something happened and then you want to, maybe reassess your goals.
Mm-hmm.
So Zuckerberg, he released this sweeping 5,600 word manifesto.
That's pretty long. It's kind of like a small booklet.
Yeah.
And what is a manifesto anyway?
It's a public declaration of your principles or your intent. So in this manifesto, Zuckerberg argues that Facebook can forge or form a global community by expanding the number of users connected on its platform through groups like
parenting.
Yeah.
How can they do that?
Well, so this, I think yesterday we talked a little bit about user groups, so that people on Facebook are allowed to create these groups or discussion groups where they can share
like
ideas.
All the parents can get together.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe all the musicians or something like that.
And so it can be very powerful. So sometimes the best information you can get is by asking somebody who knows about it, and if somebody on your group can give you expert opinion or good advice, that's a good, powerful way in order to find good information for solutions, although it can also lead you into trouble.
So they try to build what we call a global community. Mm-hmm. Usually we think of the place we live in that area is our community, but it's not global. But you say all the people all over the world that are artists or musicians, then we can have a global community.
Sure.
And then they'll start this and help do certain things to help people emotionally and personally. If you have a problem, we can help you. And not just the people in your area, but people who have the same problem in other countries.
Right. People, literally all over the world can...
That's positive. Instead of telling people to do bad things, tell people good things, right?
Mm-hmm. And can help each other.
That's what they're trying to do, right? So what is their hope that this is going to do then? It says over here in line 13.
So the hope is that these connections will spill over into the physical world to strengthen bonds between people. So the connections that people are making in these groups, in these communities, these positive things that are assisting each other, that will spill over or overflow or go from the virtual world into the real one.
And so they'll help people then have a bond. Usually we don't bond or we don't feel like we understand people when they don't even live near us, but this will make us have strong bonds with people in other countries of the world, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes,
definitely.
That's what
good,
they're trying
strong
to
bonds
do,
is
right?
Very important.
And then he says it's kind of like an anecdote. What is an anecdote?
An anecdote is a cure.
It's a remedy, isn't it?
Right? Yeah. For here, often social media is blamed for causing people to feel isolated.
Because you're just online and you're not seeing people. But if you are talking to people in other places, you're connecting too, aren't
mm-hmm.
you?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to do something to solve this problem. And I don't know if it's enough or not. Let's see what the last paragraph says. Is it enough?
Is it enough? Zuckerberg's attempts to quell its problem with fake news and the like are all steps in the right direction for mitigating Facebook's shortcomings, experts say. But the question invariably remains, How can Facebook ever have enough moderators, fact-checkers, or even sophisticated enough artificial intelligence to back up its lofty intentions? 2 billion users is a challenge no company has ever had, said David Kirkpatrick, author of The Facebook Effect.
So, is it really enough? What do you think?
That is a very good question, and I guess one of the things is that time will tell. So, Zuckerberg's attempts to quell its problem with fake news and the like are all steps in the right direction. So, this quelling a problem is to stop it, or usually with force. And here, the article is saying that it is definitely steps in the right direction, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they get to the finish.
I like that word here in line 20, mitigating. It's kind of a big word. Some people might not understand that. What does it actually mean?
So it means to make it less harmful or serious. So Facebook shortcomings, it makes it less severe. So he's doing all of these things to, you know, deal with the fake news. It's making, you know, Facebook's faults or shortcomings less serious.
Well, he's trying very hard, but here is this question that invariably, which means it still remains, no matter what he's doing, there is this question. How can Facebook ever have enough moderators, fact-checkers, or even sophisticated enough artificial intelligence to back up these high, lofty intentions to what he really wants to do? How can he have enough people to do it?
That is the question.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Right? It is a very good
question. I mean, 2 billion is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they say here, is that 2 billion users is a challenge that, until now, no company has ever had. So certainly, you know, first companies that had shared stocks weren't thinking about sharing 2 billion stocks, that's for sure.
Well, it is, and I think people have to realize that he can only do so much. He has a big staff, and he has a lot of people helping him. But, you know, it's good sometimes to try to think of ways to help people instead of always criticizing them, don't you think?
Right, yeah, doing something that is effective instead of just being
critical. It might be nice if everybody sent a nice little message to him and say, we're all for you, and keep on, and, you know, instead of saying, why did you do this? Sometimes messages of encouragement help. What if 1 million people said, okay, we're going to stick with you on this? Hey, all the people listening to our program could do that. And he'd be happy because everybody's helping him. We need to help each other, don't we? You can't do it alone.
We do. And I think Facebook also can't solve this problem alone. Now, certainly, I personally believe that they do share responsibility in order to do things with the social media platform.
They're trying in order to make it
harder for people to take advantage of other people.
I think they're trying very hard. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think they're trying, but, you know, like this question, it's like, I don't know if it will be enough. I don't think they'll be able to cover, you know, everything and be able to, like, squash or quell, you know, every problem they have with fake news or, you know, violent material being streamed. It's almost impossible.
It is almost impossible. And what's also almost impossible, if 2 billion people were able to say all at the same time, yeah, we're not going to participate in clickbait anymore.
You know, I think the only person can know what's going on all over the world is God.
Sure.
Because, I mean, how can he ever find out who's doing this and who's doing that? Mm-hmm. And people just can't do it. It takes a superhuman person that's not human to do that, don't you think?
Right.
I think people are not going to be able to just trust their own strength in order to be able to solve this problem.
All right. But we can help each other and encourage each other. And I think Facebook has been a big help to families that are separated and they get to see their grandchildren. So I think that there are a lot of things he has done that we can be glad for. So you might want to tell him sometime. Send him a message.
Okay.
He'll be very happy. I just read more about your problems and we're for you. And he might like that.
He would definitely like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's also encourage each other when we have problems, because we can bond together. And some of you who are listening in today, I know some of you are in New York and some of you are in Germany. We get letters from you. So we can all bond together in our advanced classroom, can't we?
We definitely, can. Mm-hmm.
And so we're glad that you're with us today. And there's some big words here, but go over them, read them over again, and see what we can do in this world to help each other and bond together and make this world a better place, don't you think?
I think that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So thanks for being with us, and thank you, panelists. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Come back again next time we have a program.
We would love that.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.